One of the most strategically placed countries in the Middle East is about to pick a new president. And although Lebanon is predominantly Muslim, that new president will be a Maronite Christian. And that's because Lebanon's constitution requires it. And the deadline for Muslims and Christians to pick their next president is later this month. In the first of a three-part series, we'll look at the rise of Maronite Christians. The Christian denomination is unique to Lebanon and has played a central role in that country's frequent struggles over political power. Here's NPR's Peter Kenyon in Beirut.
Arab Christians may have thrived in the Middle East for hundreds of years before the arrival of Islam. But there is only one country in the Arab world today where Christians have genuine political power. It's here in Lebanon, a beautiful and bloodied corner of the eastern Mediterranean, where the beaches of Beirut quickly give way to cedar-covered mountains. Today, many consider Lebanon a failed state in waiting. It's a familiar position for a country that has been racked by internal and external fighting ever since it was carved out of Syria in the 19th and 20th centuries. Like much of the Middle East, Lebanon was fabricated by foreigners. It might be called an accident of history, if the rapacious maneuvers of European colonial powers could be called accidents. But while many Arab states saw their borders delineated by European Christians, only Lebanon was conceived as a place where the Christians would actually be in charge. The Maronite religion survived well in the northern villages of Mount Lebanon, under the loose control of the Ottoman Empire. The Maronites maintained close ties to European Catholics, especially in France. Over time, Maronites spread southward, populating traditionally Druze villages and working in the silk industry. But it was not a peaceful cohabitation, and in 1860, terrible riots erupted. Historian Kamal Salibi, author of A House of Many Mansions, The History of Lebanon Reconsidered, says even before Lebanon existed as a state, the tensions between factions were being stoked and manipulated by foreign powers. He says as the Druze prepared to fight the Maronites, they turned to their patrons, the British, for help.
Britain provided them with money and arms, and meanwhile the French had been providing the Maronites with money and arms. Now, the Maronites were more numerous, the Druze had the advantage of organization, and of course they were in a corner, so they fought like wild cats.
When the smoke cleared, an estimated 11,000 Maronites had been slaughtered in Mount Lebanon, and at least as many more killed in Syria. French forces soon landed in Beirut, and within a year, Mount Lebanon was declared a semi-autonomous region of the Ottoman Empire. Under French protection, the Maronites prospered, all the while clamoring for more land and more independence. In the aftermath of the First World War, France granted their wish, adding Beirut, Tripoli, and most of modern Lebanon to the Christian enclave.
Now, the Maronites had been clamoring for the enlargement of Mount Lebanon since the 1880s. So the French landed, and a high commissioner was appointed, and he annexed the coastal towns and their hinterlands, and he called it Greater Lebanon.
The French made one other crucial change. They installed a governing council in which six religious factions, three Christian and three Muslim, had proportional representation. That set the precedent for the confession-based system of government that exists today. When the French Mandate ended in 1943, the Republic of Lebanon was born. But the Muslim population never accepted the notion of Lebanon as a Christian state. Broadly speaking, Lebanese Muslims saw themselves as an Arab people with a proud Eastern heritage, while the Christians considered themselves descendants of the Phoenicians, with a Western-looking heritage going back to ancient Greece and Rome. In a series of sometimes ad hoc compromises, it was gradually agreed that the president would always be a Maronite Christian. The first Sunni Muslim was appointed prime minister in 1937 and the first Shiite speaker of parliament in 1943. Those jobs have remained within those sects ever since. The result, historians and analysts say, is a society that is forced to respect religious and social differences to a degree unmatched anywhere in the Arab world. At the shrine to the Maronite saint Mar Sharbel in the village of Anaya, Father Luis Matar says Lebanon's tolerant society depends on all confessions, but it wouldn't be possible without the Christians.
If I was to give an example, they are like the cement that hold together the stones of a building. And that's the role that the Christians play. They cement relationships between all the different other factions.
But Lebanon's political foundation could badly use some stronger cement. having been shattered by waves of shifting alliances and near-endless conflict. It may be a mystery to outsiders why Lebanese Christians seem to be constantly at war, all too often with each other. Professor Samir Khalaf at the American University in Beirut, author of Civil and Uncivil Violence in Lebanon, says it's important to remember that the hostilities in Lebanon are about power, not religion, and that what appears to be sectarian or interfaith fighting is more akin to a tribal power struggle.
What I argue is that as long as the Lebanese were fighting over the visible issues, they don't kill. But when these are deflected into indivisible issues, autonomy, identity, who am I, where is my home, it is then that the fighting begins to be uncivil.
At no time was the violence more uncivil than during the 15-year civil war that began in 1975, which included some of the fiercest intra-Christian combat ever seen here. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Beirut.
Tomorrow we look at the impact of that civil war on the Christians of Lebanon.